this beginning of this year on tears and triumphs. And last week I spoke about when you're sort of in that low place and maybe in that depressed place, how do you sort of biblical ideas of trying to walk through it and navigate it. And today I want to talk about anxiety. So this is not like the biblical answer to all anxiety, okay? This is just some thoughts I've had on it. And I've spoken quite a bit on this over the last few years. So if you want to speak to me afterwards, I can put you into contact, put you in direct direction of some of the other messages I've spoken, which is probably better than this one, okay, to encourage us. But anxiety is something that I may be wrong, but a few years ago, we didn't really talk about anxiety that much, did we? Not the same levels that we talk about anxiety now. And recent studies that are coming out at the moment are saying those, especially those who are born after 1995, so the Gen Zers, that anxiety is the highest levels that it's been for many years. Now, it could be because we got more research going on, but it could be because life feels a little bit tougher times. Now, life feels like we got so many pressures coming at us from so many different angles, from so many different places. There used to be that good time. Remember when you weren't in your house and no one could get in contact with you? Can you remember those good old days? Yeah, if you're born after 1995, you've got no chance of remembering those days. Okay, you've been born with a phone. But those days where you could escape. Nowadays, you can't escape anything anymore, can you? Your emails are pinging at you no matter what. You're always contactable. You're always sort of there, reachable. And the problem is, the way that we live sometimes, anxiety just gets a grip of hold of us, however young or old we are. Now, that's what I talk today. There's a difference between being anxious and having anxiety and worrying. Okay, if a lion walks into the church right now and comes towards me, I'm going to panic, okay? I'm going to worry. I'm going to get out of the way. If you are getting things wrong at work, you're probably right to be a little bit nervous, okay? Trying to work your way through it. There's a difference between worrying about a situation that you're facing, anxiety. And the difference with anxiety is this, is even after the worst case scenario you think is going to happen, you're still anxious. You're still worrying. You're still living in that place where you can't seem to get away from that feeling that things are going to go wrong. All the hypothetical events go through your head. I went to the NHS website this week and I typed in, what are the signs of anxiety? And these are the signs. Feeling tired, restless, or irritable. That sounds like most blokes my age anyway. Okay, but hey, so we're all anxious there, no. But it's feeling shaky, trembly, dizzy, or sweating more. Being unable to concentrate or make decisions. Trouble sleeping. Worrying about the past or the future. Or keep thinking something bad's going to happen. Having headaches, tummy aches, or muscle pains. Having a dry mouth. Pins and needles, noticing your heartbeat gets stronger and faster, and you start to get out of breath, and you start when you feel anxious. Those are some of the ideas, some of the things that happen when you get anxious. And I don't think a lot of us, if we're really honest, we suffer anxiety at times. I've shared in the past about my really bad journey through anxiety. I ended up on medication a few years ago, because just stuff kept getting worse and worse and worse. And I don't think it helps by the world we live in. You know, where Steve mentioned earlier about not watching the news, I've sort of given up watching the news all the time. The headlines, I put an app on my phone this week to restrict how much I went on BBC News. And I discovered, I didn't realize this, I was going on the BBC News app 25 times a day. I got this app that slows me down when I do it and it says, you've been on this app 20 times the last 24 hours. Are you sure you want to go in it again? And after a while, I'm like, well, actually, no, I don't. Because all I'm doing is I'm constantly bombarding myself with the bad stuff that's happening in the world. Now, I'm not saying you live in a, like, bury your head in the sand and pretend it's not there. But if you keep doing this, you're going to keep having stuff come up to you and keep hitting you. As I shared before, we can't escape. People can get hold of us on WhatsApp and emails, wherever we are. Life just feels unescapable sometimes. And the Bible doesn't hide away from fear and anxiety. You know, often you hear that saying, there's 366 verses that says, do not fear in the Bible. Actually, that's a lie. There's 400 and something verses that talk about don't be fearful. So this is something that's been going on for generations. This is something that's been going on over and over again. You'd think by now we can invent mobile phones, we can have all this technology, we'd find a way to work through anxiety, wouldn't you? But we're still not. We still seem to be getting worse and worse and worse. And it goes around our heads. And when we get anxious, we just don't seem to be able to kick it sometimes. We don't seem to be able to get over it. We think we're getting there, and then more anxiety comes over us, and waves of anxiety come over us again. And the Bible doesn't hide away from this. The Bible is really real about this. The same way the Bible is real about depression, the same way the Bible is real about our struggles with temptation, it's written all over it. And I shared last week about my love affair with the Psalms. And today I want to look into Psalm 55. So please, if you're following on your Bibles, I would encourage you to follow on your Bibles. Pull it out on your phone if you need to. Just don't go on Facebook, okay? Because that will cause you anxiety, as it's on there. Years ago in youth group, they started going, oh, Jim, I'm on my Bible, okay? I'm joining the youth group. And I won't mention which young people they were. I got home and they were Facebooking each other across there, okay, in my middle of my group. So make sure you're not doing that today. But Psalm 55 is, I just want to look at this. It's a psalm written by David, and it just talks about some anxieties that he's going through at a certain season in his life. So the verse is going to, can we read this together? Is that okay? We don't often read together, but the words are going to be on the screen. You can have it on your phone as well, but let's read these words together. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. We'll stop there for a moment. It's quite really going through a bit, isn't he? David, as he writes this. Now, this is written by King David. And it was during a time when he was king. And we don't know exactly what was happening during this time. But we have the impression from what's written here that there was an uprising of some sort. There was someone coming to cause him grief. Someone coming to stop him. Maybe trying to take his kingdom off him. And we think it could have been his son Absalom. Can you imagine you're in your workplace and the person who's trying to get you sacked is your kid? You feel pretty stressed out, wouldn't you? Sort of working a way through and working inside families. A lot of anxiety happens inside families. But whatever is happening here, this is causing him great anxiety. And as we look at the start of this psalm, we see how desperate David was. Look what he writes here in verse 2. He says, my thoughts trouble me, and I am distraught. This is not David saying, oh, I've got a little bit of an issue coming up, and I'm feeling a little bit worried right now. This is David, absolutely a breaking point. He is distraught. His thoughts are going round in circles. He's at a breaking point here, the way he's writing this. This is reflections of Psalm 42 that we looked at last week. You know, when you are anxious, your thoughts trouble you, and you just can't kick it. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? You go through it, and it just goes through in cycles and cycles and cycles, and you're there going, don't be so stupid. Come on, I might be putting myself, Jim, are you idiot? Don't think this way. And then the more you try not to think about it, the more you think about it, the more you think about it, the more you can't sleep. The more you can't sleep, the worse it becomes. And it goes on and on and on. Isn't that right? Yeah. If you haven't felt that way, God bless you. You might feel that way in the future. I hope you don't. Because we all go through these seasons. And look what he goes on. In verse 4, he says, fear and trembling have beset me. Horror overwhelms me. This is David really going through it. This is David feeling so overwhelmed that it's crippling him. Then he jumps forward. He goes on then in verse 6 and 8, and he says this, oh, that I might have the wings of a dove, that I would fly away and be at rest, that I would flee away and stay in the desert, that I would hurry to a place of shelter from the tempest and the storm. David wanted to run away. David just wanted literally to pack his bags. If he had aeroplanes in those days, if it was written today, he'd say, I just want to get on a plane and just disappear. I just want to escape everything. I can't handle this anymore. The thoughts are going around my head. I can't handle the situation. I just want to run. I just want to go. I can't find a way out. I just need to get out of this. I need to escape. I need to just run away from all of this. You know, as Christians, we can be in this place as well. We can be in this place where our anxiety gets us, that all we can think to ourselves is, I just want to escape. I want to run away. I want to quit. I want to finish. That's it. That's it, gone. See, the love about the Bible is it's honest about this. I shared last week about the fact that sometimes we can walk in victory, which I agree. I love the fact we have forgiveness in the cross. I love the fact we have hope in the cross. But sometimes we need to face up to the fact that we get ourselves in this place. That we get ourselves in this, and that God understands what I'm going through. Can you say to the person next to you, God understands what you're going through? We need a reminder of that. Because sometimes we think we're the only ones who go through this. Sometimes we think that we're bad Christians because we feel this way. But God understands. That's why I believe it's inspired to be put in the Bible. That's why I love David. You know, when we go through long seasons of stress and anxiety, we look for the way out. And as Christians, we are not immune from anxiety. We are not immune to these feelings. You know, David talks about his enemy, that he just wants to get away from his enemy. You know, your enemies could be called all the things that cause you anxiety. Now, sometimes they may not be enemies, but in your head, you think that they're enemies. It could be university deadline. It could be your boss at work. It could be your finances. It could be family. It could be discontentment. It could be jealousy. It could be confusion. It could be lack of direction. And when we're in these places, it's just so hard to sometimes see a way out. To sometimes feel like, how am I going to get out of the situation? That problem becomes a giant. It's really interesting because the way I looked at this story, I was just preparing this and I forgot who wrote the psalm. And the story that came to my mind was this. Was when the Israelites faced Goliath. All of the soldiers came, Israelite soldiers and King Saul, they were terrified of Goliath. They thought he's going to kill us. He was a giant. He really was a giant, but they were terrified of him. But rather than being terrified, David came along. And David came along and he saw the solution, not the problem. Amen. And what really shocked me here is this, it's ironic that the guy who killed the giant when everyone else was terrified was now scared of a man who's facing him. You know, David, the strong man, also was David who found himself in places and different circumstances in a different setting where he was really anxious. You know, I want to be like David, yes, and take on the giant. But actually, David was the same guy a few years later wrote this with these words about his son attacking him. David was king. Why was he being scared? But look what David goes on to say. This in verse 16 and 22. He says, as for me, I will call to God, and the Lord saves me. Can we read that together? As for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Then he says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. His faith there. He's admitting what he's going through, but he's also declaring what he knows to be true. And that's how we step in faith. We don't pretend there's no problems. We face the problems, but we declare how good God is in the midst of our situations. You know, David knows something. He's found hope. His hope is in God. His anxiety is looking to God. And I just want us just to look today. And how can we actually look to God? How can we cast our cares onto God? What sort of tensions do we have to hold in ourselves? How do we have to do things a little bit differently, maybe? Because the problem with anxiety is this. We can know that God is God. We can know that we can put our cares onto God. But often there's tensions that are going on inside of us. There's this battle that's going on inside of us. That means we don't fully give them to God because of things that we're facing. So the first tension I want to share about today is this. That you might need to give up control. Can we say this together? You might need to give up control. I don't know if I haven't got this written on, but I'm going to read this out. There's a Canadian psychologist called David Benner, and he says this. Fearful people live within restrictive boundaries. People who live in fear, feel compelled to remain in control. They attempt to control themselves, and they attempt to control their world. Often, despite their best intentions, this spills over into efforts of control of others. Fear also blocks responsiveness to others. The fearful person may look deeply loving, but fear always interferes with the impulse towards love. Energy invested in maintaining safety and comfort always depletes energy available for the love of others. You know, sometimes when you go through fear and anxiety, when situations are against you, you have this need to control. Does anyone know what I'm talking about here? Some of you are like, not me. Okay. I didn't realize this for a while. You know, sometimes you try and control what you control. Like when you're fear and anxious, some of you might walk in with your kids and go, start telling your kids what to do. Make sure your kids got everything just right and you're this. And you know, you're sort of like shooting around and everything's got to be controlled. And you get really annoyed at work because you can't quite control things. And you do. And if this goes through the motions. But the problem is, some of you, we do this, don't we? Let's be real. And the problem is this, some of us then try and control God. When we're fear and anxious, you're going, God, right now, if you love me, you will do it my way. Who's ever prayed that prayer? Don't put your hands up. Because those who haven't put their hands up are lying. Okay. We do it because we want to control things. Because we really want control. And sometimes when we're going through anxiety, the things that we need to do is actually give up control to God rather than control things more. Because sometimes when we control things and we try and manipulate things, that's when things fall apart. Do you know, I was really impacted by someone a while ago. They shared this with me. And they shared about situations they were going through, and it was really, really tough. Like they were going through real hell in a situation. And they came to me and they shared this. They said, Jim, someone's prayed a word over me. And they said, I need to give up control. And they said, but I don't think I've been controlling. But I've said to God, God, just over to you. I'm going to stop trying to manipulate the situation. I'm going to stop trying to change the situation. I'm going to trust you. Can I tell you the miracle that God did in their life is mind-blowing? When they first said they were going to give up control of the situation, I thought, blink your neck, this is going to be worse now. Prepare yourself. I thought as a pastor, I'm going to have to be looking after them a lot more. But God did a miracle when they gave up control. Guys, you know, this is really important for us. David learned this. He says, trust in God. Cast your cares onto God. And where we do that is by saying, God, I trust you. Not trying to control. You know, people who are anxious, they try and control people at work. They try and control the children. They try and control money. You can try and control church. You can try and control health problems. You can try and control God. But actually, in the midst of anxiety, one of the hardest things I've learned to do is this, is to say, God, I give up control to you. It's hard. It's tough. You feel like you're losing control at times. It's the whole point. But you learn to trust him more. So hard to do. But it's something I believe God, you know, is working in my life on this. And I believe that when we allow him to have control, things change. The second tension we've got to deal with is this. You might not like what God's answer is. Can we say that together? You might not like what God's answer is. Say to the person next to you, you might not like what God's answer is. Okay. This is so true. I love Isaiah 55 verse 8. It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways Your ways, declares the Lord. We love that, don't we? We love that verse. It's a great verse. It's a great encouragement for us. But I'll tell you what, when God doesn't do things my way, I'm a little bit grumpy. God, I'm like, God, I know more than you know. God, I know the direction I need to go. God, what do you think you're doing in this? God, what? And actually, when we're in anxiety, sometimes we really struggle because God doesn't do things the way we want. To quote Søren Kierkegaard, get his name up, the Danish philosopher, life has to be lived forwards, but it's best lived read backwards. We don't understand why we go through things, but we have to trust God, and we have to trust that he might not give us the answers that we want. One of my favorite psychologists is a guy called Ed Friedman, and he says this, since anxiety is not something that one wills away, chronically anxious families will seek out professionals who promise the most comfort, not those who offer the most opportunities for maturation. When we're going through anxiety, when we're chronically anxious, sometimes we just go to the people who tell us what we want to hear when we don't actually listen for the answers that we need to hear. That's a challenge, isn't it? That's a real challenge for us. Because this is true, because when we're anxious, we don't want to go to people who are going to tell us the truth. We want to go to people who make us feel better. You know, I'm all for empathy. I think empathy is amazing when we empathize with other people. But I think sometimes we need a good slap, not some good empathy. And sometimes we need a challenge to grow and get past where we are now. Now, in our house, me and my wife, Naomi, we're quite nice to other people. Okay, on the whole, I'm sure your families are a bit different to this, okay? And sometimes we're really compassionate to others. But when we're going through a tough time, maybe we start sharing with each other. And there's been a few times I will turn around and say to her, listen up, Naomi. I forgot my words here, okay, disappearing. Here we go. I say, Naomi, listen. I said, you won't talk to your students the way you've just spoken to me. She goes, well, you're not one of my students, are you? You just need to hear the truth. And sometimes she goes and cheers to me about situations. And she goes, Jim, you're my pastor. I said, I'm also your husband at the same time. And sometimes we just need the truth told to us, don't we? Ideally, we need it with love. But sometimes the problem is that when we're anxious, we go to those who support our case, not to those who are going to help us work the way through it. And sometimes with God, we need to go to God. We need to say to God, I need your answers. You know, Peter in the New Testament, he was one of the most chronically anxious people when he started off following Jesus. Every time Jesus said something, he was like, no, 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 Jesus, that's not the way you're going to do it. So Jesus says, Peter, I'm going to have to die and come back again. No, you're not going to have to die, Jesus. No chance. When he says, you're going to betray me, no chance I'm betraying you. He's sitting like a nervous wreck all the time. But Jesus never gave Peter the answers that he wanted. Peter gave Jesus the answers that he needed. And for us, we need to be prepared that when God speaks to us, that we listen to the answers he has for us, not just the answers that we want. Now that Peter, who is a chronically anxious, running around disciple, wrote these words later on, a few years after Jesus ascended to heaven. He says, casting all your cares, and we read the Amplified Version, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all unto him, because he cares about you with deepest affection and watches over you carefully. Peter knew to trust God. He knew that Jesus wouldn't give you the answers that you want straight away, but he knew that Jesus had the best answers for you. It's tough. Can I say something here? Remember a few years ago, I spoke to a friend, and they were a bit like that fight or flight, always wanting to run away, always wanting to run away. Not liking the answers God was giving. I remember I said to them one day this. I said, listen, if you don't stop running, you're never going to stop running. When we're anxious, you can end up running between churches trying to find the answers that you want. You could be running between counselors trying to find the answers that you want. You could be running between doctors and friendships groups trying to find the answers that you want. But when you do that, you miss out in the best that God has for you to help you grow in your relationship and your faith with Him. It's hard. It's tough because we want that reassurance. But sometimes we just have to listen out to God and be prepared that we might not like the answers that He gives us. But He wants the best for us. The final thing, tension that we have to hold is this. You may need to regain perspective. Can we say this together? You may need to regain perspective. Jesus said, I'm going to flick the words up. I'm going to read the words from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus said these words. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life or what you eat or drink or about your body or what you wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not so much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life? You know, sometimes we just need perspective back in our lives. Sometimes we get so caught up in our situation. I don't know if you know, but when your body gets in a fight or flight response, your eyes somehow narrow and you focus on what's in front of you and you have this physiological response to what you're facing. I don't know all the science about it. I don't want to say the science because I know we've got some science people here. Okay, you'll know more than me. But what happens is you just focus on what's in front of you, what that threat is, and you forget about everything else. It goes to the wayside. And sometimes you need to step back. Sometimes you need to be prepared to regain a sense of perspective. And Jesus says here, listen, guys. He says those worries that you're facing, those stresses that you're facing that you think, I can't get through. He said, sometimes step back. Have the bigger perspective of things. He said, look, the lilies, they don't go crying. They don't go panicking. The flowers in the field don't think, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? They might do. Okay, the nervous system probably will kick in somehow. But they just trust. And Jesus says this. The flowers are so valuable to God. You're even more valuable than the flowers are. I'm still there for you. We're going to be there for you. Don't be consumed by worry because I'm there. You know, there's been times in my life when I've been consumed by worry, when I've prayed, when I've not slept, when I felt like there's no way through. And as I've spoken with other people, they've helped me regain that perspective of what I'm going through. Have you ever had it when you think to yourself, the world is coming to an end, and then 2 days later you look back at it and you think, why was I worried? Has anyone gone through that moment? All the time. Okay, it's kind of my life sometimes. Different situations. Sometimes the situations don't change, they're the same. It's just a different perspective helps you get through. I always pray, God, help me to see things differently. I've got a really good mate of mine. Sometimes when I go into a really tough time, I'll give him a phone call and he gives me a phone call and we sort of phone each other. And sometimes when we start talking to each other, we like start laughing a little bit because we talk about this problem that is so stressful, that's really stressing us out. And when we just articulate it, we go, blinking heck, Jim. Why the heck are you stressed about that? That is the least thing to be stressed about. Yet when you're going through it, it feels so tough. Pastor Andy Stanley in Atlanta, he writes this about the passage. He says this, today's sorrows will be replaced by tomorrow's joy. Today's anger will probably be tempered by tomorrow's perspective. Today's worry will be replaced by tomorrow's concerns. Jesus was correct. Each day has its own worries. But if we're not careful, we will allow the pressures and fears and circumstance of today drive us to make decisions that we will regret tomorrow. We need to come back in sometimes and say, you know what? I'm not going to allow today's decisions to affect tomorrow. I'm going to regain perspective. And it's true. So many times I've looked back and I've thought, Jim, why did that situation ever bug you? So as we come into close now, you know, anxiety is not easy. You can't just switch it off. It's tough. But I believe that God wants us to trust him, even in the midst of anxiety. And the problem with trusting God in the midst of this anxiety is God doesn't just switch it off like that. We have to live with these tensions, that God might have a different answer, that we might need to change our perspective, that we might need to change our circumstances, might need to change around us. But in the midst of all this, we need to make sure that we keep going to God, that we don't keep jumping from person, to church, pastor to pastor, school to school, job to job, trying to find the answers that we want. But instead, we go to God. Instead, we come before him. And we regain that perspective. I remember we had to pick, it's really simple, but this really stressed out a lot of people that we knew. We had to find a high school this year from our daughter when she's going up to high school. And, you know, picking high schools used to be quite easy. You sent them to the local school, didn't you? Everyone was telling us, oh, this sort of circumstance and that, and all these different questions. And then the kids were talking in schools, and I was meeting 11-year-olds and my daughter's friends. And they were getting a little bit stressed about what schools they went to. And I'm thinking, you're 11 years old, okay? And in the end, we had a conversation. Our daughter, she was sitting there, and she's going between two schools and get a little bit anxious about it. And she didn't know which school she wanted to go to. And I turned around and I said these words to her. I said, Sophia, you need to know this. That first of all, mum and dad will make the decision, not you, but we will listen to you. So it's out of your hands. And the second thing is this. If we pick the wrong school, it's not going to be the end of the world. We just look at changing schools. That simple. And it was amazing because that moment when I said that to her, something clicked in her brain. And she realized that choosing schools wasn't going to be the end of her world, okay, if it went wrong. Some parents, it is the end of their world, okay. But the pressure was off her. And that's just a little example for an 11-year-old. But for some of you, you're going through anxiety today about jobs. You know what? Maybe God is pushing you to a new job. And this could be God's direction for you. Maybe God, if things don't work out in the jobs and the decisions that you're facing right now, it's okay. It's not going to be the end of the world. There will be another job. For those of you guys at uni at the moment, and those of you listening in from uni at the moment, some other uni students who watch me, I want to tell you this. If you fail, an exam, there's a chance to retake it, and there's other journeys in life. It's not the end of the world. And there's so much when we regain perspective, it makes such a difference for us. Because, you know, I want to use my seasons of anxiety to grow in my relationship with God. I want it to be so God helps me mature as a Christian. I want to finish just with these words of Henry Nguyen, who is a Roman Catholic priest who gave up everything basically to care for someone, incredible guy. And he talked about growing in relationship with God. And he says this, he keeps saying, God loves me and God's love is enough. You have to choose the solid place over and over again and return to it after failure. Trust that one day that love will have conquered enough of you that even the most fearful part of you will allow love to cast out all fears. That's my prayer for you today. As some of you journey through anxiety, and some of you might be going through anxiety now, that as you go through this, that you will know that there is a God in heaven who loves you. A God in heaven who's journeying with you. A God in heaven who calls you to the cross. Who says, come to me. Give me your burdens. Cast your burdens. You can't just switch it off. It's not going to leave this today and go probably go, oh, my anxieties are all gone because I'll probably come back tomorrow. But as you grow each day, as you grow each moment, as you keep casting your anxieties to him, his perfect love will cast out all fears. You just need to live in the tensions while you wait for him to do that. Can we stand together? It's going to invite Naomi and Julie up. Is that okay? Just play well in a moment. Oh. pause a moment before we rush ahead. God loves you. God wants the best for you. One of the sayings I seem to say to my children over and over again is this: you may not like my decisions, but all my decisions I do because I love you and I see the bigger picture than you see. My kids normally grunt at me and shout at me and walk off. But God feels the same way about you. He's there looking out for you. He loves you. You are his precious child. He's not forgotten you. He's not abandoned you. But he wants you to trust him. If you're going through anxiety right now and you're feeling a bit like a failure of a Christian, or maybe a failure of a man, or a failure of a dad, or failure as a mum because this keeps coming back to you, I want to tell you, you're not a failure today. Even the great King David, the guy, the giant slayer, the guy who killed thousands, even he had moments where he just fell apart, where he struggled. And I just want to encourage you, just quietly in this moment, just to say, God, I surrender my anxieties to you today. God, I surrender them to you. God, I choose to trust you. Holy Spirit, we just invite you into this moment right now. Invite you into this moment. Invite you into this space. We say, Lord, just speak to us. I pray, Lord, those who need peace right now, you just drop peace down, Lord. Father God, those whose perspectives need changing, Lord, right now, God, I pray that you just start to help them to see things from a different perspective, Lord. Those, Lord, who are just having a sense of really controlling everything right now, and they know they're controlling stuff. And as I said those words earlier, they said, that's me. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to be able to take their fingers off the steering wheel and give it to you, Lord, and help trust you with the driving, Lord.
Dear God. Hello. Hello.
Yeah.
Hello. And to God, we've got a God who can take our cares to, all our needs to. Just a few notices, and I suppose just on that point, we've got an opportunity this week at the end of the week, the 12th and 14th, it's our weekend of prayer. So starting at 7 p.m. on Friday, Pastor Jim will be sending out an email for that. I've got the wrong page over, sorry about that. Starting at 7 yesterday, 9th to the 11th of February, this week. Early notice for next Sunday, we have the international meeting where all the congregations are coming together. Been encouraged again, don't forget to bring along some finger foods. Again, that'll be a notice that'll be coming out for that. And Saturday the 24th of February, we're having a pie and pea quiz to raise funds for the guys going to Serbia. I think they'll be behind me. So yeah, God's been good, hasn't he, this morning? I really think God's spoken to us. So I'm going to close in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've spoken to us today. Lord, that I thank you that you're with us wherever we go. And in fact, we can't get away from you even if we try, because you're everywhere, Lord. And I just pray today, this week, whatever we encounter, Heavenly Father, whether we need to surrender it, whether we need to give it up to you, whatever, Lord Jesus, help us to trust you. I return again, Lord, to that verse that it's in your word, that we're to trust in you, Lord, with all our hearts. Help us to do that, because it's not easy. Sometimes our hearts want to go elsewhere. Our hearts want to be looking at other things. Our hearts want to be focused on other things. But help us, Lord, to focus on you and to trust you. And Heavenly Father, just make the paths clear to us. Direct our steps, we ask, this week. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.